But right now, we've got a man standing by, Chief Technology Officer at IBM Resilient, a fellow at Harvard's Berkman Center, and a board member of the Electronic Frontier Foundation. We couldn't find anybody more qualified than he to talk about this story today that has got me completely confused. Bruce Schneier is with us. And, all right, so the story, so, you know, today, Bruce, I'm just minding my own business, turning on my TV, and it seems like every time you turn on your TV, it's a jaw-dropping moment. There's something happening where you're like, what?
Yeah, keep that turned off. It's just better.
Thank you.
No, but
great advice, Bruce.
But sometimes you just look at your phone and you're like, wait, what did it do? Oh, no.
I know.
What?
Panic.
So the story today is that Facebook was ratting me out to Netflix. Is that basically what happened?
You know, it's hard to read the story and know what happened. Basically, near as we can tell, so we know that Facebook makes its money selling your data, well, actually selling access to your data, advertising to you, spying on you. And it looks like against their own rules, they gave some big tech companies like Spotify, like Netflix, access to data that they kind of promised you they wouldn't do.
Now, what kind of things? What should I be worried about here, Bruce?
Well, we should worry about companies lying and spying on you. The data, we don't know the details. It's data about your habits. It's data about what you do. It's data so these companies can better influence you, manipulate you, sell you stuff, right? Mm-hmm. That's the whole point here.
And they would argue it's a great convenience to us that we don't have to think too hard about what we want to buy. They'll do all the work for us.
And that's all well and good, but there are rules, there are laws, there are the company's own rules, and the fact that they are basically selling you out at every opportunity doesn't make them, you know, look really good.
No.
And this is a weird, so this story is from internal Facebook documents that it seems like, they don't really say it, that some kind of whistleblower, somehow the New York Times got a hold of them and were able to piece together the story. This is not an admission. This is not something the government found out. This is a piece of investigative journalism. So there are a lot of holes in this story. I assume that state attorney generals that are already suing Facebook over Cambridge Analytica and a whole lot of other, you know, we misused our users' data scandals, mm-hmm. will now look at this and then we'll learn more.
And the New York Times, which you're right, did some excellent investigative reporting on this and was able to interview 50 former Facebook employees and really dug in deep, got documents and proof of exactly what they were doing, is now putting on their Twitter handle, the New York Times official one, how to delete Facebook with 42 million followers. You wonder what kind of a hit Facebook will take over this latest issue.
And Facebook is sort of the whipping boy right now, almost. This is the company that is getting a lot of the brunt of this. But, I mean, the real discussion here is that this is what these companies are doing. Surveillance capitalism is the business of all the Internet. We are constantly spied upon. If the companies are following their rules, the rules are opaque and we don't understand them. Often turning off these services is almost impossible. You know, they are so critical to us living, and government needs to step in and regulate this space. It's just a free-for-all crazy mess.
Is it spying if you know they're doing it?
But you know, and then you don't really know. I mean, did you know that Facebook was taking this information, using it, and giving it to Spotify, giving it to the other companies? You really didn't.
Do you
especially
care?
Especially your private
right,
messages.
You know, when I use
yeah, see,
email,
that's, okay, I wanna, hold on. I use, hey, wait, no. before we even, I think you're kind of heading the same way we are here, but that's the thing. They were looking at your private messages and searching for words in your messages. Now, you may think, based on your search results and things like that, Violetta, as the millennial here, you don't care. Because
it's
you just
that
assume
I don't care.
That.
I expect.
You expect it.
I don't expect,
do expect
privacy
them,
on the Internet.
Do you expect them to be private with your messages?
Are they sharing it with other people or companies? Because if it's people, then
companies
I care.
Companies have people in them.
Yes, I mean, are you from? What is a company?
You don't share it to an abstract company. You share it to people
right.
inside the company.
Right, and massive companies. Netflix, Spotify, Bing, Amazon,
right.
Yahoo.
What I mean is you're using private.
Bing still is alive.
Bing's alive.
Yeah.
You're using private messaging mostly because you don't want other humans that you can, you know, communicate with to see what you're writing. So those messages are more so just from people that I'm shielding, not so much.
So let me talk about that.
And yeah, please,
that's okay,
please, Bruce, please.
For us to say from a position of privilege, when you start looking at people in more marginalized in our society, there's a lot of self-censorship. There's a lot of worry about surveillance that, you know, I mean, I'm a white male. I mean, I don't have to worry about a lot of stuff. But this kind of pervasive surveillance changes who we are, changes what we do, and really affects the freedom of our society in a very deep way.
Now, what if
and that's what's important.
What if Facebook came out and said, we're not hiding anything. We are going to be taking all of your information and selling to whoever we can. And then people decided if they wanted to use
Facebook. Well, I think, isn't that what we were hoping was the case after they signed that FTC, Federal Trade Commission,
yes,
agreement back in 2012?
She was only 14, so what did she know in 2012? Go ahead.
Right.
Go ahead, Bruce. I want you to explain what they already agreed that they weren't going to do this.
Right. I mean, so it's are they following their own rules? And that's not true. But the interesting question is, what if these companies said, look, we're spying on you. That's what we do. That's our business model. We're not going to beat around the bush. You know, we're not going to call ourselves Google or Facebook. We're going to call ourselves Spy on You Corp. And that's what we do. Now, that would be better, at least there's some transparency. The problem is opting out, right? Because it's actually very hard to opt out of some of these services. Like, don't have an email address. Don't have a credit card. Don't have a smartphone. Those are the tools for living a normal life in the 21st century.
Right.
And
a productive life.
If you're forced to use those tools, which we really are, it's not enough for disclosure.
So you're
there
calling
needs
for
to be
regulation.
Some limits.
Well, there already
yes.
was. Wait, hold on. Violetta, hello. What part of this conversation are you not keeping up with? There already was regulation.
Well,
they apparently didn't follow.
Enforce regulation.
They didn't.
Yeah. So, but she's right. I'm calling for more regulation.
Okay.
I'm saying that these are fundamentally the public sphere of the 21st century. This is the town square. These are the sidewalks. This is where we live our public lives. And to have them in the hands of for-profit corporations brings with it some responsibility. And right now, there's been no responsibility on the companies at all. They can do whatever they want. And I think that has to end.
Okay. Okay. I'm sort of with you on this.
Now, I am too.
But let me ask you this question, though, Bruce, because you work for IBM, right?
I do, but this is not me speaking for them. This
okay.
is really me speaking as an individual, as someone who teaches at Harvard. Let's use that.
You're a human, not
credit.
A company.
I'm a human. That's right.
this is the strangest.
Restraining at all.
Yeah, I don't know how this is the strangest interview I've ever had. But at least we've all decided who's a human and who's actually a cyborg here. Everyone's a human. There's no artificial intelligence here.
And you say that without ever seeing me. So I think my programming is pretty darn good
yeah.
right now.
Well, you know, I do know that IBM has a very good, a very convincing voice that they use.
Uh-huh.
All right. So now I'm very. I still don't know who I should be mad at and what I should be afraid of, though, which is it seems benign right now, right? Isn't that the issue, that it's benign? Because as your smart speakers are listening to the words that you're saying so that they can go sell you something when you get on the computer
see the article where they're going to now listen to body noises? It gets even weirder and creepier. Not just listening to stuff you're saying.
Oh, God.
Listen to, you know, stuff that's happening.
I can it's only stuff. Imagine the kind of things I'm going to see on the internet then.
All right. So good question. Who should you be mad at? So the problem right now is surveillance capitalism, the business model of the internet. And that's been allowed to happen sort of organically, because in the beginning, none of this really mattered. Right, it was just news groups and email, and it wasn't important. And now it is critical to democracy, liberty, society. What's missing in all of this ecosystem is government involvement. Right? Governments have largely been hands-off because it didn't matter. That's what has to change. So I would address my concerns into the political process. You can't go to Facebook and say, please do different. Right? They're going to behave as a for-profit corporation. If we want the rules to change by which Facebook operates, the laws under which Facebook operates has to change. That's the only way.
It seems to me as if they just said, this is the data we're sharing, and that's it, and then you sign up, and you'd be okay with it. It just feels as if every few months or so, we keep getting surprised by, oh, wait a minute.
Well, they change the rules, right? I mean, they send us something we're supposed to read, and no one can actually read it.
Yeah, but what we're learning now is they didn't even abide by the laws and the rules that they agreed to.
Right. There's two things. Are they following the rules, and are the rules the correct rules?
Mm-hmm.
Right? How would we know?
And opting out works well if there's competition. If there are 17 different Facebook-like services, we can pick the one we like best based on their actions. If it's just Facebook, I mean, the top websites are either Facebook and Google or owned by Facebook and Google. So you go to WhatsApp, you go to YouTube. This is all Facebook and Google under different names. So these two companies, you know, Amazon too in another way, Apple in another way, these companies are so powerful that they are effectively writing their own laws. They are bigger and more powerful in some ways than governments.
And
it's that power imbalance that's causing this problem.
And it does seem that the internet, the virtual reality of our lives, which is really robust now, is mirroring the actual ethical and moral dilemmas that we see in our living, breathing human lives. Because you go to site, you know, if people are going to go to WhatsApp because they want to cheat on somebody or they want their messages hidden, then it seems like those kinds of places that are whether it's Tinder or WhatsApp or things or the porn sites, that you're more likely to run into compromised data situations when either legal or illegal, when you go into places like that, than you do when you're in the white bread world of
more
Google,
mainstream,
and things like that.
I mean, yes, that's true, but you know, I worry about the legal stuff, the stuff that companies are doing because they can. There are things that are happening, but the U.S. government isn't doing anything. But California just passed a major privacy law, which will have world-reaching effects. Europe has some major privacy laws. New York, Massachusetts are looking at this. So some of the states are stepping in where the U.S. federal government is abdicating. And that's going to be interesting to watch.
Yeah. And you wonder how long the U.S. government's going to abdicate. I mean, I think that there's going to be a political shift here eventually anyway, when people start to realize that when the millennials are like young Violetta here at 26, it's like, okay, that's fine. But 10 years from now, when she's got kids and she's looking at that shit, her world's going to change, right? And then the younger people who are really using these sites at a different pace than older people are,
mm-hmm.
and it's just become a part of their life and a part of their brain and a part of an extension of them, they're going to realize as they're going to see how they got sort of infected along with their body.
If you don't do it now, it will take a turn where the younger generation will think, well, I don't need privacy. I've never known privacy. So if the generations now don't take care of it, who knew what privacy really was?
Yeah.
What we know is that the young generation actually does care about privacy differently than we do, but they care a lot about privacy. As to making this a sea change in a political issue, I hope you're right, but it hasn't happened yet.
No.
It's amazing so many things that have happened, and yet this has never been a major political issue. And a lot of it is that Silicon Valley is such an enormous wealth creation machine that elected officials are afraid to touch it.
Yeah, well, I mean, so is Wall Street, right?
And enormous lobbying power.
Right.
Absolutely,
Wall Street had that. There was a lot in the military industrial complex.
Right,
all those,
right.
It can
fall apart.
Yes. And we have learned throughout history that those things do fall apart when they become too big and then they take advantage too much of their consumer, those things, or the people that they can't live without, whether it's their consumer or just a marketplace, they end up...
And that's an important distinction you made, right? For Facebook and Google, we are not their customers. We think they are, but we're their product.
Right. Exactly.
And remember that. We are not their customers.
Exactly right.
We don't have a customer relationship with Facebook.
Bruce, thank you very much. Appreciate it, sir.
Thank you,
great,
Bruce.
Great talk. Thank you, sir.